Father, we thank you for the many years that that hymn has brought comfort to people who feel broken inwardly, who have had broken dreams and broken problems in their life, and it's just caused them pain. But yet, they've learned to lean and trust and look to your Son, the Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank you that the promises are the same to each one of us this morning. And we pray as we turn to your word, Lord, help us. Help us to listen to not what you're saying and not what man's saying, but what you're saying. Help us to listen to what you want to say into our lives this morning, because man cannot even create an anxious thought. So Lord, I am praying this morning, speak into my life. Speak into each one of our lives this morning, that we'll know the still voice of God saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Lord, we need your help. I need help. The hearers need help. So we're asking for the power of the Holy Spirit to be revealed in this meeting for your glory and for your praise. In Jesus' name, amen. In the book of Thessalonians, it's an amazing book how what happened. These people were persecuted. These people were in trouble because they came and they'd given their life to God, and God had changed their lives. But people round about them weren't happy at the change in their life. People round about them didn't like what had happened and what the message that Apostle Paul was preaching. But these people whose lives had been touched by God, they wanted to live for his glory. And we read about that in verses 2 and verse 3. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, these people, their life was changed. They were converted. They were different people. And when Paul heard how they were living for the glory of God, he writes back to them and encourages them. He says, your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the same today. God wants to use you and God wants to use me. And what way can God use us? We just need to live for the glory of God. If we say, I love the Lord Jesus Christ, he's in my life, I am a child of God, I am a Christian, I am converted, I am born again. Well, we need to let people see the beauty of Jesus in our life. We need to let people see that God has changed us, that God has transformed us, that God has made us into someone who wants to walk with him and talk with him and live for the glory of God. And that's what was going on here. These people, even though it was really difficult for them, because they wanted to take a stand for the glory of God, and the people round about did not like it. And maybe in your life, there's people who don't like what you believe or who you believe in and the stand that you take in your life. But all we need to do is live for the glory of God and ask God to help us in our lifestyle. James says in chapter 2, verse 17, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, it is dead. Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, it is dead. And what James is saying here, it's all right saying you've got faith, but let us see it in action. You know, I could take you to my house and I could take you into the garage, and I've probably got about maybe a dozen Slimming World boxes. I've been to Slimming World, I don't know how many times, probably about a dozen, and every time you go, they give you a new book, and I've probably got about a dozen of them. And my daughter says, Dad, you must be the slimming world's biggest failure. The biggest failure, because I start it for a short time and I know I lose £5 every week because it costs £5 to go. And that's only £5 I lose. And the evidence isn't there. I've got the book, but the lifestyle isn't matching it. And it's the same as Christians. If I love Jesus and God is in my life, my lifestyle should reveal I love Jesus. My lifestyle should reveal I love the Lord. And that's what's happening. These people are living for the glory of God. They want God to be real in their life, that people can see the beauty of Christ. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, Jesus says, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. What do we need today? Things are difficult. People are struggling. Even in the Christian community, there's people just struggling. At the very beginning of the lockdown, I thought I was lost in my head. My diary just died. From being a busy diary, just died. And I had to work it through. I've just been totally honest with you. I had to work it through how I really felt. You weren't getting out there to share Jesus. You were sort of locked in. And I had to deal with it. And in our lives, there's things that we have to deal with. We need to be honest and not just put on a plastic smile. But there's things going on and we have to deal with them. And if I'm not real with myself, how can I be real with somebody else? And people are struggling and finding things difficult. But as we look to God and the promises of God, which are yes and amen, He will give us the strength. And He will give us the ability for whatever's going on in our life. Whatever we are experiencing, if we keep on looking to the Lord will help us. The Lord will guide us. And the Lord will bless us. And then people will look and say, where does He get His strength from? Where does she get His strength from? And we can say, through it all. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. And I've learned to trust in God. And maybe you're here this morning. And maybe you feel that you're sinking. Look to the Lord. Because the Bible says perfect peace is given to those whose mind is fixed upon the Lord. And that's where we get our strength from. And as we get our strength, people will see the glory of God in your life. And people will look and see how come there's a calmness. How come there's a peace and a joy in their life? And it's the Lord, because that's who we're looking to. And even when it is difficult, and even when there is struggles, but as long as we keep on looking and trusting and leaning and reading and reading and reading the scriptures and being still at the feet of Jesus, He will give us the strength that we need. Because He'll never, ever, ever leave us, and He'll never, ever forsake us. It's wonderful to know that it's God that has converted us, it's God that has changed us. And the people of Thessalonica church, they knew that, because Paul says in verse 4 to them, for we know, brothers loved by God, that He has chosen you. For we know, brothers loved by God, that He has chosen you. And he knew that God had put His hand upon their life. It was God that spoke into their life. And it was God that converted them and changed them. And before we go any further, I believe that the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I believe, maybe if you're in here this morning and you're not a Christian, I believe with all my heart, and I believe what the scriptures say, and I believe that if you cry out to God, God will save you. And God will change you. And God will make you a brand new person. And it's when you come to God, God's way, and God's way is Jesus. I can stand and say, I am chosen. God has chosen me. When I was 18, I heard the gospel at the Oban Baptist Church. A minister told me about Jesus. He told me about sin. He told me about hell. He told me about the blood of Jesus and forgiveness of sins. And at 18, I asked God to come into my life. So today I can say, it was God that saved me. And it was God that kept me. But I had to call out to God. And if you're here this morning and you've never cried out to God, I want to tell you, you're never too late. Because today's the day. Today is a day when you can come and say, God, I want you to come into my life. I want you to come in and to come in to stay. And in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. And I wonder this morning, have you given your life to God? Have you surrendered your life to God? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Come and give your life to God if you're here and you've never surrendered your life to the Lord. When I was over speaking to Ian last Monday, we were talking about death, and I was telling him about my mum's death. My mum had a beautiful death. My mum died well. My mum, when she brought us up, she was an alcoholic. My dad was away doing his own thing. My mum had difficulties, clinical depression, an alcoholic, addicted to Carlsberg specials. I detest even seeing the cans because it wrecked her home. My mum's life was a mess. But then she came and gave her life to God. And God changed her life. Absolutely changed her life. And she became a completely different person. She ended up with rheumatoid arthritis, and her hands were like this. Her feet were in a mess, and she was in agony. And the only time she found peace is lying in her bed reading the Bible. And I remember at Wishaw Hospital, going in and see my mum that morning, she died. I read Psalm 23 and held her hand and prayed with her, and she breathed, but took about 12 breaths and then died. But it was amazing. The doctor, a few days before, it was giving her medicine. And she says to the doctor, whoa, what's that you're giving me? She says, is that going to help me get better? And the doctor says, no, it's just to help you calm down, sort of thing. She says, that's fine. I don't want anything to help me because I want to die. She wanted to go home. Now, what was the difference? Because she knew that God loved her. She knew that Christ died for her. And she came and she gave her life to God and she had a beautiful death. Well, I was sharing that with Ian on Monday, and he had concerns in his life. And he knew the gospel because he was brought up with the gospel. His dad was an elder at a church near Airdrie, and his mum was a believer. And then Monday night he came and surrendered his life to God. Surrendered his life to God. Now I want to tell you this morning, there's great news. If you're here and you're not a Christian, God understands everything that's going on in your life. And all you need to do is come and surrender. And there's mercy. And there's forgiveness with God when you give your life to God. And maybe you're here and you're a Christian. And you're thankful that you're converted. You're thankful that you know you're chosen. But maybe you're here this morning and you know there's struggles. Struggles going on in your life because of everything that's going on. Or maybe be something private that's going on. But as the hymn says, through all, we can learn to trust in Jesus. And you know, it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, we've still always to get back to that. It's leaning and trusting and keeping our hope fixed upon Jesus. Because how often have we been like, and I'm talking about myself, well, like Peter in the boat, and as Jesus comes walking towards him, Peter got out the boat, and as he kept his eyes upon Jesus, he could walk in water, He could walk towards the Lord, but as soon as he took his eyes off of Jesus and started looking at the waves, he panicked, he was frightened, and he started to sink. And how many Christians today, and we feel we're sinking? How many Christians, and we just lose the joy of the Lord? We lose the peace of the Lord because we've taken our eyes off of Jesus and we're starting to look round about us to whatever's going on in our life. I've been there many times. Many times. And God is to bring us back to the place where I'm getting my eyes focused upon the Lord. It says in verses 5, 6, and 7, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived amongst you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit, and so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. These people were totally committed to the gospel. So were their leaders. Paul was saying how they became imitators of the Apostle Paul and the believers. They just followed them because they were living for the glory of God. And they lived for God's glory. And they wanted God to be glorified, even though things were difficult. They wanted to live for God's glory. Now, I want to tell you about a man I met a few years ago. And he goes to the mustard seed up in Glenrothes. He wasn't there the last time I was there. And this man, unfortunately, his daughter passed away many years ago. Something happened and his daughter passed away. Then recently, unfortunately, his wife passed away and something happened and his wife passed away. I remember speaking to him and I was a wee bit concerned as I was going to chat to him because I knew what had happened to his wife. And this man was just as strong as anything. He was talking about the glory of God. He was talking about the will of God. He was talking about the perfect will of God for his life and for his family's life. And here I was concerned what I was going to say to him, and he actually became a blessing because he just wanted God to be glorified in his surroundings and what was happening. Now, why am I telling you that? Because what's going on in your life and what's going on in my life, we can use whatever happened to us for the glory of God. When we look to God in our life, when we look for the fingerprints of God in everything that happens in our life, then we can see God's blessing. You know, when I was a wee boy, I never used to go to the youth fellowship in Muir House. And you know why I never went to youth fellowship? I was a scheme fellowship. Because I had to write down Gordon Thompson, 217 Shields Drive, Muir House, Motherwell. I had to write that down, and I couldn't write. And I used to say, Papa, I can't log in there. I don't like that stuff. Because I couldn't write my name and address. Because I didn't know then, but I'm dyslexic. And I've got reading and writing difficulties. And it hindered me so much when I was young and really messed me up. And even as I got older as well. But you know what happened? I used to hide it from people that was dyslexic. I used to hide it with my reading and my writing and spelling. It was terrible. But then I met with Jesus. And I realized I am who I am in Jesus. And he accepts me the way I am. And he's changing me. And see now, being dyslexic has been a blessing to me. Because when I was the minister in Drum Chapel, I was able to share with people the difficulties that I had in school. The problems. And I remember getting taken out of high school. I was getting taken out of geography. And the reason they took me out of geography, I think it was geography, to take me to the Abbasidae Club. That was for people who had reading and writing difficulties. And as you're leaving the geography class, the boys in the class would go, A, B, C, D, A, B, C, D, and make fun of you because you're going to the A, B, C, D club. You needed help with A, B, C, D. But now, God has set me free, and I am who I am in Christ, with my warts and all. And you are who you are in Christ. And God wants to use you. And God wants to take you where you are and fill you and use you for the glory of God. But sometimes Christians hide who they really are. And they can't bless the people round about. They can't help the people round about because they're too busy keeping the stiffer upper lip. But God is looking for people who humbly walk with him and be used for his glory. And these people were totally committed to the things of God. And brothers and sisters in Christ today, what do we need? What do we need in our society? We need people who are totally committed to him. That people can see what God can do in our life. That people can see that God has changed people and transformed people. And that invitation is open to them as well. That invitation is open to them as well. They just need to come God's way. And God's way is Jesus. God's way is Jesus, and it'll always be Jesus. And these people, Paul says, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived amongst you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit, and so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. What was going on in their life was used for the glory of God. What was happening in the Thessalonian church, what they were experiencing, was used for the glory of God. And what's going on in your life can be used for the glory of God. When you say, through it all, through everything, I'm going to learn to trust in Jesus. So wouldn't it be great this morning if we to come, as we come to a close, and just say, whatever's going on in my life, I am going to look for the fingerprints of God and ask God to help me. Through the good days, the dark days, and the difficult days, the days when I want to get up out of my bed, and the days I just want to stay in my bed, I'm going to learn to trust in Jesus. I'm going to learn to trust in God. Verse 9 says, they tell how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And as we finish, these people's lives were so changed. They were so changed and so different that people were talking about them. People were talking about them because their life was different. Their life was changed. And that change was Jesus. And if you're here and you are a Christian, let people see the change. Let people see the change because of the way you speak, because of the way you behave, because of the way that you treat other people. Let them see the difference because God has changed you. And if you're here this morning, and you know in your heart you're not a Christian, I would love to talk to you. Masks on, not a problem. I'd love to talk to you about Jesus. Not about Allender. Not about a church. Jesus. Jesus changes lives. Not churches, Jesus. And Jesus can change your life this morning. And maybe you're here and you are a Christian. And maybe if you be honest, maybe there's struggles going on in your life. Maybe there's difficulties. Like that man I met up in Glenrothes. I thought he'd have been broken. I thought his life would have fallen apart. But he was looking for the fingerprints of God that what happened in his life. And everything that goes on in Christian's life, we have to look for the fingerprints of God. And we have to use everything that goes on for the glory of God, that people can see the beauty of Jesus through our life. And then when they look at your life and they see what you're going through, they'll say, I want to know who they know. I want to know who they know because they're different. And what I've said is not all pie in the sky. It's real. It's real when we come and look and lean and trust in the Lord. Let's just come before the Lord in a word of prayer before we listen to our closing hymn.